Hello, everybody. This is going to be the One Uppers podcast, episode 33, I think. And today we're joined by one old guest and one new guest. First, the old one, EGM Live's most hated listener, Duck Hunter 007, also known as the Arbiter from Triple Entente Radio.
Hello.
And I'm going to let our new guest introduce himself.
My name is Nicholas Marinelli, and I'm with the Music and Gaming Festival.
Can you explain what the Music and Gaming Festival is?
Music and Gaming Festival, we call it MAGFest, is a yearly convention. It takes place at the beginning of January each year, and it's just dedicated to video games and video game music. So we'll have a 24-hour game room running the entire weekend. We'll have live video game music concerts every night. In addition, we have a little side music room called the Jam Space where anybody can just go and pick up an instrument and start putting on their own miniature concert and invite other people to come up with them and start playing.
All right, and I guess we'll just start out with what you've been playing, and I'll let Duck Hunter go first because I know how he loves to go first.
The only thing I've been playing for a while is Beyond Good and Evil because we're doing our own little late-to-the-party thing on my show. And I can't believe I missed this back when it came out. It came out on the consoles before. It's now available for $10 on Steam. It's an amazing game. Everybody should pick it up. Honestly, I didn't know what to expect going into it because you hear it's just a great game overall. And nobody really talks about, you know, what you do in there. And it feels like Ratchet and Clank. You know, the action's great. The combat's great. Replace a wrench with a little pole like you got in Star Fox Adventures. And you basically got the Ratchet and Clank formula. The puzzles are amazing. I mean, there's not really a lot I can say about it without, like, spoiling a lot about the game. Basically, you're Jade, you're a reporter, you live with your Uncle Paige, who's this big-ass pig, and you take into shelter a bunch of kids that have been, you know, lost their family due to alien attacks, and there's a whole backstory to that. You know, it's weird. It mixes a lot of, you know, finding and puzzles with stealth. There are tons of stealth sections in the game, and it handles it beautifully. The only thing I can say about it is just it's Ratchet and Clank with it.
It's Ratchet and Clank just with a different palette swap.
Yeah. One thing I did notice this week, though, is that if you live in Canada and you buy a pack of Cheeseheads brand cheese, they pretty much throw in the Beyond Good and Evil disc in the package of cheese. Yeah, I saw this on Kotaku. In Canada, there's this brand of cheese, and in each package of cheese, there is the disc for Beyond Good and Evil on the PC.
How expensive
is cheese? Canada people are weird. I guess they'll probably start putting them in milk bags.
Well, it's not even
after
a while. It's not even like you mail in the proof of purchase or anything. It's just, it's in there with the cheese.
It's in the package. Well, I guess, I mean, it's old and all they're really paying for is the CD, I guess. They're probably not going to make much more money off of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is coming out sometime. They haven't said when. So, I mean, the interest will probably drum up again then.
So, are you playing it on Steam or?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Because I saw it, I kept seeing it for like $10 for like GameCube, Xbox, PS2, and I just really never got it.
Yeah. It's really hard to find in stores. Like, that's the only way I could get it was downloading it off Steam.
All right. Nick, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Chrono Trigger DS. I got it for Christmas from somebody. I originally wasn't going to get it because, you know, I'd already played it, I guess it was about 10 years ago when I was still in high school. But I got into it, and I'd forgotten how fun the game actually is. It's one of the few Japanese-style RPGs that I enjoy. There's not too much new stuff in it. There's a couple extra dungeons, which are nothing but fetch quests and rehashes of old dungeons, and there's this new Pokemon-type monster trainer. You know, they're not really worthwhile bonuses, but the game is still as phenomenal as it was when it came out, what, 15 years ago?
Probably, I don't think it's 15. It's probably more like 12, I think. Wasn't it 1995?
Well, we're in 2009 right now, so.
That would be 14 years if it came out in 95, 13 or 14.
I don't really remember. I never played it back on SNES.
Who gives a rat's ass?
But aside from this, I've also been trying out Quake Live. Have you guys seen that at all?
No, I don't even know what it is.
Well, the beta, they're supposed to do an open beta on the 24th.
I think it's opening to everybody right now. It's a closed beta right now where you just kind of, people who are in there invite other people. But it's just Quake 3 Arena in a web browser.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I think I did hear about this.
You just open up Internet Explorer, you go to the website, and bam, Quake 3. Pretty interesting.
That's pretty neat.
It's almost gotten me in trouble more than once at work, so.
I wish it was happening when I was back in high school, where you'd be just sitting on the computer all day in some classes, having nothing to do. We try to find old Flash games that weren't banned already from the computer.
Well, there is a plugin you have to download, so it's not just... You have to install a plugin. It's not just like Flash.
Is that it?
Yeah, I guess that's about it.
I've only been playing mostly two games. I've been going back to a little, like, Crossroads DS, playing a little puzzles of that, but nothing really too deep. But the two new games I've been playing is... The first one is House of the Dead 2 and 3 Returns for Wii. I found it for $10, and I just kind of wanted to try it out a little bit. It's really just a shameless port of House of the Dead 3 on Xbox, because 2 is unlockable on there. So, I mean, it's not too bad of a buy for $10, but when I first tried to get it to work, the controls would not register right. Yeah, like, you could see the little pointer on the Wii. Try to shake it at the screen, and you barely see it, and then it just wouldn't register right. And you have to go into the calibration controls and do this most bizarre kind of way to point at it to make it actually control right. It's really hard to describe in words, but I had to go to GameFAQs just to actually make the control work. I don't know why Sega did that. Because when you go on the Wii, like, the menu system could tell what the hell you're pointing at. Why can't the game do it?
I think it's funny that you had to go to GameFAQs for the settings menu.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. I don't know why Sega did this. It was back in, like, the 64 days when nobody had, like, internet, except for, like, rich kids. Practically everybody would hate the game because they couldn't play it. But House of the Dead 2, I know a lot of people are really big fans of it back in the day, but between 2 and 3, I think 2 is really the worst offender. I mean, besides, like, the really bad voice acting and the kind of shitty graphics, compared to today, it's really just not as fun as 3 is. I think 3 was made to be a little bit easier, but that's not saying much because they really made these games for the arcades, and they don't give you enough credits. And this game was made to gobble up quarters, so you're either going to be playing this game like so much till you remember it and have the perfect reflexes to beat it, or you're just going to give up after like 2 or 3 hours of trying to play it and beat it and just give up. But it's not too bad. I mean, it's pretty fun in co-op, but I don't see why they couldn't put House of the Dead 1 in there. I mean, it was for they ported it to Saturn, and I think to PC. I don't think it would have been that hard of a job. Anybody ever play House of the Dead?
Nope.
I had the first one on PC, and I played it in the arcade a few times. So this House of Dead 2 or 3, is this different from House of Dead Overkill that just came out for the Wii?
Overkill is the original game for Wii, kind of like Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles.
Oh.
And I kind of want to actually play this game because it's actually made for a console in mind, so you won't have unforgivable difficulty, should I say.
Does it support the Zapper?
Everything supports the Zapper.
Well, I mean, are
yeah,
you
it
using
does.
Are you
it? It says it on the box.
That's just a piece of plastic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you could play Smash Brothers on it if you really wanted to.
That'd be a lot of fun. But are you using the Zapper?
I tried at first, but I just really just started using the Wiimote by itself. I really bought the Zapper for Link's crossbow training, which sucked anyway. So it just sits in my closet. It's hiding in the closet. But the other thing I've been playing is Lego Star Wars 2. the original trilogy. I found it for Xbox for like $3, so I had to get it. I played the first one on GameCube, and I really liked it. It was just really fun, really casual, and just kind of a nostalgia fest. I would have gotten the GameCube version because the way you can unlock the characters you unlocked in the first game by putting in the cheat in this in two, but since I didn't have it on Xbox One, I can't play with, like, I don't know, Qui-Gon fighting Darth Vader. Can't do that. So, but they did a pretty good job with the cutscenes. It makes it all kind of funny and neat, and even though there's really no talking, I really enjoyed watching them. They also have like new vehicle missions where you can fly like the Millennium Falcon or pilot a AT-AT, and I really don't think those were pretty much done that well. The Jedis don't feel as powerful as the first game. At least I don't think so. I keep getting killed, so I just keep switching to a blaster character and started playing a lot better. They throw too many enemies at you, too. Like, especially in the Empire Strikes Back part levels. You'll just be in, trying to get to this one objective, and you'll have, like, a billion stormtroopers trying to kill you. And sometimes you just have to find a switch and just make them stop coming. Or you just gonna keep on and keep on dying. And they keep making these stupid find switch objectives. You have to like backtrack with the right character, and then pull switch so the other character can pull switch, and then you can finally progress through the game. But it's still pretty fun. I mean, if you like the first one, you'll love the second one. Did anybody play either?
I played the first one, Lego Star Wars, the episodes 4, 5, and 6. I mean, not 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, whatever. The bad ones. And I liked it. I didn't think, you know, it was worth picking up another one or Lego Indiana Jones or Lego Batman or the future Lego Prince of Persia. But
wait a minute, they're making a Lego Prince of Persia?
Well, it's not official, but they're making Lego toys for the Prince of Persia movie. And because they've made Lego toys for the Indiana Jones movie and the Batman movie, there's a good chance there'll be a Lego Prince of Persia.
That sounds like that almost sounds like a joke, like that Lego Halo April Fool's joke from EGM.
Yeah, that would have been awesome though, if there was a Lego Halo.
Just pretend Darth Vader's green, same thing, and give him a blaster.
I would play it. Actually, I haven't played the Lego games myself, but I do have a friend that swears by him. Just never stops talking about how
you're not missing much.
Yeah,
he sure rants and raves about it.
I don't really have much motivation to pick up either Lego Batman or Lego Indiana Jones. I mean, if I find them for like $3, like I did, I'll pick them up. But I don't know how people are spending $50 on these games.
I love how every time I come on, the way you introduce your games is, oh yeah, I found it for like $4. Found it for like
I'm frugal. Frugal.
I found it for like 50 cents.
I found it in the street, and it was only just a little scratched up.
There's only just a little bit of pee on it, not that much.
I actually did find like a old PS1 in the game in the trash the other, about like maybe a year ago. I mean, I didn't have a PS1 at the time, so I didn't want to try it out.
I was digging through the trash the other day, and I found Final Fantasy VII.
It was like Street Fighter something. It was one of those collection discs. It wasn't like original game, I don't think. But that pretty much wraps it up for what I've been playing. And I guess when we get back, we'll start with news, so stick with us. Hello, welcome back. This is going to be a news segment, and Nick and Duck Hunter are still with us. First up, the Virtual Console releases for this week. All we've got for it is Life Force, which is actually NES port of the Gradius spinoff Salamander. Now, I don't really like those kind of shooters anyway, but is anybody else?
I used to play that game all the time when I was, I don't know, how old was I? I was probably like 7, and I could never beat it. I always used the damn Konami code, but holds a special place in my heart, so I like
it. What about you, Duck Hunter?
I don't play. I've never played good 3/4 of the game that come out on a virtual console. I have no idea. I've never heard of it before.
All right.
I guess the soundtrack is really what does it for the game. Some pretty catchy stuff in there.
But Nintendo also announced this week that they're going to bring out something super secret, and they made a bunch of clues, and apparently it was some kids on NeoGAF, like they always do. They find it out, and apparently Nintendo's going to bring Commodore 64 games to America, because they already did it for Europe.
I thought the secret surprise was the DSi thing.
What?
It's actually Commodore 64.
Well, they kept making like little references, and people found like the stuff they were referring to had Commodore in the word. I don't have it written down, so
maybe the DSi is actually a Commodore 64.
But it's the thing they were making clues for the Wii Shop Channel, and I don't think DSi is going to affect that. Do you think?
Commodore 64 coming to the DSi. DSiWare.
Well, that's not the Wii Shop Channel, is it?
Whatever, fine. Sorry, I'm not as smart as the NeoGAF kids. I don't spend my days spending it on Wikipedia looking up Commodore references.
It's actually not Commodore references. It's just they found stuff with Commodore in the name. I mean,
a reference to Com...
I mean, Commodore is like another word. It's not like... never mind. Just forget it.
Do you want to break out a fucking thesaurus?
Shut up. Alright, 360 owners can look forward to the Xbox original Grab by the Ghoulies now. That was recently released. Now, I didn't really ever play it, even though I have an Xbox, but did anybody else?
Well, if it was for $2, you'd probably pick it up.
Probably.
Honestly, like, you look at the Virtual Console, and there's some nice stuff on there, and you look at the Xbox originals, and it's like Microsoft just hates everybody. I mean, all you got on there is Halo and Fable and Psychonauts. Indigo Prophecy would be good.
Ninja Gaiden Black.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden. And then it's just month after month of shit.
I haven't played Grab My Ghoulies myself. I do have a humorous story about it. The guy who did the music for it, Grant Kirkhope, he also did the music to GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. He was a guest at NAGFest this year, and he was telling how he's British, and in the UK, ghoulies is slang for balls. So he got quite a chuckle at it when he heard the title of the project.
Yeah, before the game even came out, it was rumored to be for GameCube, and all they gave out was the title, and EGM actually thought it might be a mature game because of the Ghoulies Balls kind of reference, especially since Rare's from the UK anyway. But it's just another kid's game with the most gay character Rare's probably ever created, besides Candy Kong.
I played Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, and in one level they just have a references to all of their old games, and for the Grabs by the Ghoulies disc, it's written on there, now available in a bargain bin near you.
Codemasters, they make some really weird PC games that I never really play. But they want parents from the UK to name their children Jason, who's, I think they have a new game with a lead character's named Jason, but apparently if you name your kid Jason and prove it to Codemasters, they'll send you a bunch of their free games. But anybody name their child Jason just for some stupid games?
No.
Well, I mean, it works out for the people who are going to name their kid Jason anyway.
At least it's a normal name. I remember back in when Turok Evolution came out, they wanted people to name their kid Turok for at least a year, and they'll give them like $10,000 for at least a year. Well, by the time they get the money, they could just do it, and they couldn't really get it back without a lawsuit. But imagine if, like, that kid became, like, a celebrity, and, like, on his Wikipedia page was, like, it's like, born Turok Smith, now Michael Smith, I don't know.
But how do you prove that? Send them the kid's birth certificate or something?
Yeah, you had to do that. Imagine if Sega tried to do that, trying to make Sonic the Hedgehog, whatever. Sonic the Hedgehog Green. Name your kid that.
Name your kid Marine the Raccoon and win.
I knew you were going to say that. But in other news, Square looks out to buy, is apparently going to buy out Eidos, the European company that makes Tomb Raider and other shit. So if you, does anybody really care? If Square decides to put Final Fantasy and a crossover between Final Fantasy and Tomb Raider?
Yeah, maybe Tomb Raider will be semi-good.
Oh. What about you, Nick?
It just seems like it's totally out of left field. I had not known when Enix originally bought Square that Square was going under so bad and that apparently slimes were more popular in Japan than Final Fantasy was. So somehow Square Enix thinks it's a good idea to buy Tomb Raider and Fighting Force. I don't know if it's a good business move.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't just for Tomb Raider. Like, there's probably some IP that we're not thinking of.
No, I'm pretty sure that's all they have.
Well, that's like what they're...
Maybe there's some good characters they could make into a good game, but
well,
I
don't
know, really made anything
business.
Good in a long time. Well, there's
Fireworks,
didn't they make Time Splitters?
No, that was a different Time Splitters. Those guys.
I mean, it wasn't developed, but I think it was published by Eidos, wasn't it?
Let's see. They got Legacy of Kain series, Hitman series, Commandos, Deus Ex. Ooh, Deus Ex.
That's what they're going for.
Obviously.
Thief. Urban Chaos, that game with the black chick that's the cop, and you arrest people.
Well, I mean, if they made Tomb Raider an RPG, I could see it being kind of good. Like, if you look at what BioWare did with Sonic the Hedgehog, they actually made Sonic and his friends, you know, okay to deal with, and they actually made a good RPG out of that.
I just can't wait to see, like, if they ever try to mess with Tomb Raider, like, make a kind of like an anime version of Lara Croft. That'd be kind of funny.
Lara Croft used boob attack for 6 damage.
Her proportions are bad enough as it is. Turn her into anime, it'll just break her in half like a Barbie doll.
They're just like elastic, like Mr. Fantastic. They just stretch out, slap them, and come back in.
But in other news of Western developers and not so good of shape, Midway just revealed all its creditors, and they revealed that they're over $100 million in debt. Most of their creditors are kind of like retailers, like Walmart, Toys R Us, Target. But how does they get over $1 million in debt? Who ran that company?
Well, when you don't put out good games. Like, what's the last good game by Midway that they come out with? Mortal Kombat versus DC, I'm pretty sure that sold okay. But otherwise, you know, it's just like the Acclaim situation, where Acclaim, they didn't produce that many great games, and they went under. I mean, Midway just got delisted from the New York Stock Exchange this week.
Yeah, that's what happens when you buy the whole company for, wasn't it like $50,000?
He picked it up at GameStop for only like $3.
Found Midway in a bargain bin.
Or just like in a box with puppies, to free to a good home. There's Midway just sitting in there.
So not too many people are going to pick up a puppy that like has like $1 million of debt that they have to take care of if they adopt it, like that guy did.
As soon as they pick it up, it just pees all over them.
But in other news, the Resident Evil 5 producer or director, I can't remember who it was, but in a recent interview he said he might actually do a project for the Wii after he gets done with Resident Evil 5, and they're pretty much already done with it, because it's going to be released in spring. But anybody looking forward to a Resident Evil 4.5 for Wii?
Did you say it was a Resident Evil project for Wii, or just the producer was going to work on a project?
Well, he says he wants to make a new Resident Evil project on Wii, whether it be like Umbrella Chronicles 2 or Resident Evil 4.5 or something new. He's doing the old PR. Oh, maybe we'll do this, maybe not. But he's hinting, so that's kind of hope for the Wii. I would love to see Resident Evil 4.5 myself, even though I doubt they'll do it, or it might just be shitty. Anybody else?
I don't really care that much. I mean, I didn't play Umbrella Chronicles. Did you play? I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was short.
Yeah.
That was my main problem with it.
So, I mean, if it's good, if they make Umbrella Chronicles 2, great. I just don't give a damn because I don't play on my Wii at all anymore. The last thing I bought for my Wii was Super Mario Galaxy.
Aw, oh, man. Not cool, Duck Hunter.
Pick a damn name.
You pick a damn name. You always go to Duck Hunter on 1UP and you're Arbiter.
I'm never on 1UP anymore.
Fine, you can be the Arbiter forever.
Not after Hugo Dotcom shot 1UP.
You can be the Arbiter on Hugo. Go make an account there.
I'll go join Games Radar.
Our last bit of news, Harmonix is actually suing Konami on their Rock Revolution game. I think they put that out for Wii and it sold like 3 copies. But they're suing them over patent infringement. And this is kind of funny since Konami actually made Guitar Freaks and a lot of music games when that genre first came out. Since Harmonix is pretty much ripping them off, I don't know if they're paying them anything for whatever, but apparently this infringement is over something else that's in Revolutions that rips off like Rock Band 2 or something like that. How y'all feel about it?
Somebody's a little late to the party.
Got an insult to injury. I mean, Konami, they made like $6 probably off of Rock Revolution. Harmonix, you know, it's like, oh, sorry. You know, you can't buy lunch with that $6. We're just going to go ahead and take that from you.
You know, part of me thinks, if I remember correctly, I remember Konami suing Activision before, or Red Octane, rather. Somebody suing, one music people selling, suing another music game over patent infringement, and now Harmonix is suing Konami over Rock Revolution.
I think it was Konami that sued Activision when Guitar Hero came out. It was either the first game or the second game.
Yeah, I think it was two. Once they started realizing that, hey, Guitar Hero is getting popular, they wanted to make a little bit of money off that.
I still remember when people were hoping that Guitar Hero pulled off, because when it first came out, everybody was like, oh, this game's too expensive, it might not ever sell, we'll never get another one. Now everybody's sick of it. But I guess that wraps it up for news, and when we get back, we'll start with the community. Hello, welcome back. This is going to be our community segment for episode 33. We really don't have that much, but before we get to the threads, I just wanted to mention something I noticed on 1UP. Usually 1UP has a bunch of contests about every once in a while. Usually it's like a free game or a free HD TV or whatever. But I just kind of find it funny that now they're having a Street Fighter 4 contest, and you don't actually win Street Fighter 4 or 360 or PS3 or both. You actually win a chance to play Street Fighter 4 with a 1UP editor. They just ran out of stuff to give away.
At first I was thinking you were going to like sing a stick, like one of the specialty fighting sticks, but oh my god. This is pathetic.
Especially when especially when everybody who even mattered pretty much left after Ego bought them.
Yeah. Like, the only one that people would want to fight would be maybe Shane.
And he's not there anymore.
Exactly.
He might fight Garnet, Tina, or, Jeremy Parrish.
Tina, just so they can talk to her over live chat.
You can probably sexually harass her the whole time.
Fap, 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 fap.
And she would just have to take it because you want the content.
Stop running away. Yeah, keep talking like that.
You know, I'm disconnected. Fuck!
Is the grand prize you get to take Jeremy Parrish out for dinner and pay?
No, that's just the second prize.
But where's the link? How do I enter?
They have it's like a major ad. It'll be like on the top and on the sidebar. Just come on one up, you'll find it.
Please tell me there's a thread laughing at this. Please tell there's a thread where people are excited about it.
I don't think there's a thread about it. I think Tina made one and people were like, okay. But there's I don't think there's really any legitimate responses to it. But I think all you have to do is go to contest.oneup.com, and it probably show you, because this is one of them.
Just be 100 entries by Sean Elliott.
Let's get to our threads. Nick, I want you to read the post by Kane Rusticello, and I'll read
okay.
Badass Gamer 17.
Okay, Kane Rusticello says...
No, don't do it yet.
Okay.
This post was originally made December 13th, 2004, and it's really just about the DS failing, because a lot of people had a lot of fanboy comments back then, but Badass Gamer 17 makes the title, It Will Fail, and he writes... To me, Nintendo is making the same mistake that Sega started to make years ago, and I believe that it is a sign that Nintendo is losing its magic touch, just as Sega did. When you start to release another system, when the Advance still has a lot of selling power, it just spells trouble. Now, Nick will read Kane Rusticello's part.
Kane Rusticello replies, Of course, the release date is so early due to the pressure of Sony making a next-gen handheld. Nintendo wants to make itself known before the PSP is released, most likely due to Sony's knack for gaining incredible amounts of popularity in a short amount of time. I think it'll be a dead heat, though. While Nintendo has Rare and Microsoft, Sony has countless third-party developers dedicated to making great games, including Square Enix.
And Badass Gamer replies to many other kind of posts in that thread that they really weren't mentionable. I mean, this is normal replies like, oh, the DS has Nintendo, Mario Kart, blah, blah, blah. But he responds, finally, I have read all your responses and find them all arrogant. Do you all remember when the Dreamcast was released back in 1999? They broke sales records, and he spells it S-E-L-L-S, not S-A-L-E-S. And we're on their high horse for about 6 months. Then sales fell. This new toy will not be around long. You're right, Badass Gamer 17. Oh, wait, no, you weren't. The DS is probably like the most successful system ever released.
Good day, sir. But how much
I love that part about Square Enix, though.
Like, the DS is now 1.8 per household. Like, they've sold 28 million, I think, worldwide.
Not even 28 million, dude. More than that.
Ridiculous.
Go to VG Cart. Charts.com, and you'll find out which system is the best one of all.
The Z.
Charts with the Z. I do love that Square Enix comment, since a lot of people were like, oh, Square is going to make Final Fantasy VII 2. No, they kind of just made a couple
made
of spinoffs. some pity support, but really, they just started to milk DS like they couldn't anymore, and they got some pretty good support like that.
Well, no, now they have Dissidia out, and that's... If Square Enix fanboys everywhere are buying that.
Well,
alright.
Sure, the DS was horrible. It failed. Nintendo wanted to respond to Badass Gamer's comment, but in a tragic accident, most of their PR team died when they drowned in their pool filled with $1,000 bills.
All right. Our next
thread
is
but first, I just want to say, when you think back at all the games that people who were excited for the DS, the games they were excited for, it was Animal Crossing, Mario Kart, Metroid Prime Hunters, and New Super Mario Brothers. And those games didn't come out till probably like a year or two later.
Oh, 06, yeah. Most of the stuff that PSP owners were looking for at first was Ridge Racer.
DS got Ridge Racer.
Yes, the obviously better version. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't. shitty 64 port.
Ridge Racer, Asphalt Racing, Super Mario 64, that Field of Magic, and yeah, that was pretty much it at launch.
But really, every Nintendo system has like 3 games at launch.
Oh, and Sprung. I remember Sprung.
I bet you do. Wasn't that a like 13-year-old dating game?
Yeah, it was. About that, about Ping Pals.
I bought all that
GameStop for like $5. I picked them up. it was in a double pack in the Easter egg next to the register at Target.
But our next thread is really just the reactions to the Revolution's name when it finally got revealed to be the Wii. It's titled Revolution's Names Officially Is ... and I'll let Nick read C-Nice's response to it.
But overall, I'm fine with the name. It's short, it's direct, it's fresh, it's one syllable. But I do warn everyone to keep your kids away from the forums. The wee-wee jokes will definitely fly.
Now, he's got a pretty good response. I mean, I think one of the reasons why the Wii name really took off is because it's short, it's direct, and it's, well, it's not really fresh, but it works. And he was right about the wee-wee jokes. They definitely will fly, and they do still fly because people are 13 in their minds anyway.
Everybody who, no matter how old you are, that first week after the name came out, everybody was making wee jokes.
Oh, did y'all see that Saturday Night Live sketch?
Oh, with Alec Baldwin and Wario Land?
And they're making all those masturbation jokes.
I remember seeing that, and at first it was just like, oh my god, shameless plug for the Wii. And then it's just Alec Baldwin jerking off two guys.
Hey, at least Wario got some spotlight since they rarely ever advertise that game.
Well, your mother will be unnatural at this.
But I'll read T-Dog's response. I like Revolution a lot better, ... I don't know, maybe I will grow used to it and eventually like it, like I did with the 360. Right now, it just amazes me that people get paid millions of dollars to come out with a name like the Wii. Oh well, I will give it time to sink in. Yeah, I doubt Nintendo really paid somebody for just the purpose of coming up with a name millions of dollars. I'm sure somebody who gets paid millions of dollars came up with the name Wii, but
the same people who came up with the name Wii came up with a touching is good slogan for the DS.
But like he says, all he had to do was get time to sink in, and a lot of people eventually got used to it. Nick, read Anna Wim's response.
Am I the only one who's going to be incredibly tempted to scratch out Wii and write Revolution on the side of my Wii with a black Sharpie marker?
No, we're not. Man, I bet someone actually did that, and about 2 years later, they're just like, what the fuck did I just do?
You
don't really got that much room to write Revolution on there.
Pool with filled with $1,000 bills, again.
They try to sell it on eBay later. In big black letters, they misspell Revolution with an S-H-U-N.
Revolution. What'd you say?
I said Revolution, the non-believer. Shun.
The magical Leo Pleurodon will show us the way.
Edit that one out later.
All right, I'll read Soul Samurai's response. And I really don't like this guy because he's always like anti-Nintendo, like every post he ever makes. Good God, I just heard about this, and anyone who has seen my reaction wouldn't know what to think. At first, I gasped in horror, then aptly said, "What the fuck?" and bursted out laughing. Ha ha ha. Seriously, I told everyone who was on AIM who is a gamer, and they unanimously said that the name might screw the console over by itself. I mean, really? Wii? What? Marketing nightmare, plain and simple. The puns alone that will undoubtedly come from this could push people away. Does Nintendo enjoy stacking the deck against themselves or something? I guess they do, because the more risks you take, the more rewards you might make. And they definitely made a lot of rewards for the Wii. Nick, read Urban Nomads.
Urban Nomads' response, actually, this sounds like the reason that Nintendo had actually given. He said, The problem with revolution is the word has no meaning for Japanese and it's hard for them to pronounce. I'm really curious how casuals and non-gamers will react to the name of Wii.
They love it, apparently. But I definitely can see, like, people from foreign places, especially people that don't have a language close to English, going, revolution?
Revolution. Yes.
Game show hosts would get it right.
Iron Cuisine.
Well, that pretty much wraps it up for that thread. I just thought that we'd just have a little bit of fun there.
Flashback.
Next week, I'm going to give away 2 virtual console games. I doubt they'll be $10 each, but somebody will have at least 2 chances to win, or you can win a WiiWare game, I don't care. You can pick whatever game you want. But just listen next week, and you'll find out how you can win. I'd like to thank Nick and Duck Hunter, the Arbiter, as he wants to be called now forever.
I asked you to pick one, and you picked. Okay, you didn't ask me for my opinion.
Sorry. Thank y'all for coming on. You can always find this show on iTunes. Just search One Uppers on the search bar.
Hentai.
I should really find a link on iTunes and link people to that, but I'm too lazy.
Hentai.
If you ever want to join the show, just contact me on One Up or AIM.
Hentai.
And we'll try to get you set up. All you need is a phone and we are ghosts.
Massive drawn anime boobs.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for letting me plug MAGFest a little there.
Give me a link to MAGFest so
it's
I can link it on the show notes.
It's magfest.org. You know, like
okay.
Music and gaming fest.
How many people showed up at the last show?
We had 1,300 people last year.
Wow.
Or this year. I thought what's actually probably the best thing about it is that you know you'd expect it to be just this cesspool of grease and BO, but it's a really friendly atmosphere. There's a lot of nice people that actually have social skills and don't smell like ass.
You should get a poster and just write that what you just said on there.
That's
a great environment. Nobody smells like ass.
You'll get so many people.